This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I'm a dumb little bitch who loves to bite dumb little shit. That's my song.
I liked it.
Coming to Broadway theater near you. I'm Brandi Posey, and sometimes I'll be having a stressful day, and then I'll remember that I am free from all things Marvel, and I will feel my soul float and soar through the clouds like a bird of prey.
I'm Tess Barker, and chocolate chip bagels are proof that two rights can make a wrong.
Controversial.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. Keeping the song. I just didn't have a joke. I just saw that in an old Facebook update, and I was like, I'm going to make that into a... If I don't have a joke, I'll just make it into a song.
When in
just
doubt.
Just take an old update.
Yeah.
That's fine.
We have a family friend who just... it's like a tick. I don't know if I would call it a tick, but he will just spontaneously erupt into song like every... 10th sentence or something. Just like, what are you going to eat for lunch today? Anyway, it's quite endearing.
I love it.
I want to say, but I feel like we haven't talked about our Patreon for a second. So I want to say, yeah. If you're not on it, there's a lot of fun stuff going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
We've got ad-free episodes if you don't want to deal with the ads. We also do weekly bonus segments called Beef of the Week, where we just talk about what was going on with us that week or what may be bugging us. Some fun debates. My boyfriend, by the way, wants to get in on his...
Okay.
He wants... What did he say? A beef...
Is it Red Bull Gate? Oh, beef rebuttal.
Yeah. It's Red Bull, but a rebuttal. He's got a rebuttal beef, so we'll get him on soon.
Fantastic.
For his piece.
Yeah. I'd love to hear his piece.
I mean, that's a bold move on his part because he's going to be really outnumbered.
He's stepping into the dojo. That's fine.
I know. He feels like he has a place,
okay.
Though.
Okay. Tell him to stretch first, but yep. Okay.
And then, we also do monthly bonus episodes. We've been doing haikus on our monthly bonus episodes. Been really fun. And, we just riff and hang out and have a good time. It's just the three of us. So if you're interested, go over to patreon.com/ladytolady to see what we're doing over there. And also, we haven't said this in a while. If you haven't, leave us a review.
Please.
That always helps us. And tell a friend about the show if you, want to... Tell about why you're always like wildly laughing by yourself in the corner on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Tell them why.
Spread the cackle.
Spread the cackle.
Spread the cackle.
Spread the cackle. So we're doing, a lot of fun artistic stretching over there.
Yes.
Having a good time. So come hang out with us.
We're spreading our wings.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that what that
soaring.
Means? We're soaring.
Yeah.
We're
doing something
in a
with
large
wings.
Pond.
Mm-hmm. Just whoop around. Did you guys have goldfish when you were kids?
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't?
Yes.
No, I did, but I like won them at a thing. I feel like everyone just goldfish.
Everyone wins them. Of course.
It's like a trick pet that you're given. And you're like, okay, well, I guess I'll just watch you have a giant piece of poop behind you.
My mom always clowns on me because I had a goldfish that she was feeding and not telling me. And she overheard me one day, like talking to my friend, like, yeah, this goldfish never has to eat. He eats his own poop. And I was like,
I like that you are bragging. Yeah, he eats his own shit. wonderful. We'd all make wonderful parents is what we're saying.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Let's get to our episode. Oh, my God. I'm so excited that we got this lady on the show. Huge fan of her. She's an amazing actress. You've seen her in a lot of stuff. She's been in Good Girls and Why Women Kill and Fargo. It's Alison Tolman.
Enjoyed the episode, eh?
Ooh.
Very nice.
One yet.
I'm trying to be a ring person.
Mm.
You guys, and that just hurt to do.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah, you got to take off your rings before a fight or before podcasting.
Or before moisturizing, honestly. Like, I just started moisturizing. This is really fascinating conversation. But I just started moisturizing under my wedding ring. And, like, if other people wear wedding rings, let me tell you, do it. Like, no one tells you to take your rings off before you moisturize your hands. And I developed, like, a wedding ring-shaped scale under my rings.
Test hack? Question mark?
I guess.
Yeah.
let's say hi to our guest. Oh my God, we're so excited to have her. Hi, Alison Tolman.
Hello.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah. Well, thanks for inviting me to hang out with you.
Yeah. How is your moisturization today?
I have not washed my face yet because you guys told me I didn't have to wear makeup to this podcast recording, which again, I was very thankful for.
I kind of like that. We should send like a pre-show routine, if you will. That is nothing. Basically, yeah. You don't have to do shit. Just show up.
Yeah. If you come like as you are, caffeine. Literally.
Yeah, exactly. If you want some caffeine, go for it. But honestly, up to you completely.
Okay, so Tess was talking about her wedding ring. And I'm Alice, I want to talk to you about a tweet that you tweeted that I feel like a lot of people connected with, and I've thought about a lot, where you said, like, you know, on I'm saying it verbatim. I don't have it memorized. I'm reading it. Okay. Not that weird.
Just like, how terrifying that would be.
The lights come down. There's a spotlight.
She's made a quilted pillow with my tweet on it. Like,
reading from the Twitter tomes of Alison Tolman.
Unveil my scroll. Yes. She said, you know, on TV, when someone says that every little girl dreams of her wedding day, I just wanted to state for the record that this isn't true. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes!
Yeah, I love that.
Very, just...
Very seen by that.
I was watching the second season of Love is Blind, and one of the more problematic characters kept saying that, and I was like... she doesn't say, I have always dreamed of my wedding. She said, every little girl... Mm-hmm. dreams about her wedding day. And I was like, I'm fed up with this. This is not true. And I think if you read later in that tweet, I say like, what I played when I was a kid was like the older sister who all the parents had died. And then I would like pretend to play the bills and like smoke a white crayon. Like that's what I did. I was a child.
You got to take a load off after all that. Yeah.
Like burdened myself with my siblings and was like, ah, someone has to take care of these children. That's what I played. A different fantasy. Yeah.
No, wait. You say, was it Shayna? I'm just assuming it was Shayna.
No, I think it was Deeps, right?
Deeps isn't problematic.
Oh, Deeps isn't problematic.
No, she's not. Who is it that...
It was the girl who had real anxiety problems.
Oh, yes. Danielle. Gotcha. Danielle.
Yeah, she kept... say she wasn't that relationship was problematic. I'm sure she's lovely, but I was like, oh no,
that was a disaster.
Yeah, for all of them, pretty much all the time. But yeah, she kept saying that little girls dream about their wedding days, and I was like, they don't.
You're told you're supposed to.
That's always something that has hit me as well when I see that or when I hear that people have talked about that, because I'm like, I don't like I've seen pictures of it, but I've literally never once thought like, and then I will do this. Like it was a plan.
I will say I did think a lot about a wedding dress when I was a kid. Like I wanted a wedding dress.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think that makes sense if you're, you're dressing up and like.
Yeah. I just wanted to wear, I just remember going to my first wedding and seeing a wedding dress and just being like, I've got to fucking wear that at one point. Like,
like the high drag element of it is what attracted you to it the most.
Yes.
I think also, like, I realized I don't think I went to a lot of weddings like when I was younger. So that might, play into it as well. I feel like I was a Flower Girl in one, and like to maybe two other ones that I remember, but I just didn't see very many. So
yeah,
well, every kids movie, I mean, every Disney princess movie ended in a wedding. I mean, that was what we were fed was always like,
right. Once you
this
change,
is what happily ever after looks like, you know.
Yeah.
Once you either get legs or, you know,
a voice.
Mm-hmm. Or like Sandy in Greece, you just become him. You just totally become what he wants.
Yeah. And then just to defend Greece, he also becomes her.
He does. He does become a jock. No one ever talks about that part.
Oh, I think about that all the time.
You don't think they stay that way, do you? Like after the flying car lands, they go back to their own.
Oh, I think they get abducted by aliens, and the story of Sandy and Danny afterwards gets very crazy.
We need to see that movie of them inhabiting Mars.
I'm into it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Sandy and Danny, actually, I can see their retirement quite well. They both like have a couple kids, but then they move to Florida and drink like way too much and are really into like Jimmy Buffett and like Sandy's anorexic.
I like, Okay. I bet there, now I'm just realizing that there's absolutely Grease fan fiction out there that I'm going to read as soon as we're done. With this.
Yeah. I was always a big fan of Grease too. I thought that was such a weird, because I didn't know about it forever. And then I remember watching it one time being like, what is this weird Cold War Grease movie?
I haven't seen that in years. I need to rewatch it. I remember
Michelle Pfeiffer, right?
That is, yeah.
Oh my God. So we were at a friend's bachelorette over the weekend, and it like kind of turned into a music video party at some point, you know, as those things will do. And we put on Gangster's Paradise, and like, that video is so fucking funny because we all know the seminal moment of that movie or whatever is when she turns the chair around and sits down on it. Mm-hmm. That is the whole video. It is literally her sitting, turning the chair and sitting around on it 10,000 times, and the video zooming in on her at different angles in the chair. And then Coolio sits down on his chair, and then they're face to face. But it is 75% sitting on a chair backwards. It's so funny.
Do you think we just weren't, what was it about that? I mean, I don't think that was the first mainstream backwards chair sit, was it?
No, I think that was, it was like the symbol for a cool teacher.
I'm just trying to think, did he sit backwards in a chair and stand and deliver? Like, I don't think that he did.
Mm. I don't think so. Because he was standing. Yeah, I don't know.
There's probably some teacher from the 50s that's just like, I used to do that in my classroom, and I never got the credit for turning these kids around.
Yeah. This
also
new
having
generation.
A white crayon in their mouth.
Yeah, they didn't have cigarettes back then. Just white crayon. Yeah, exactly.
I really do enjoy that they like used to promote cigarettes as a health item.
Me too. As a digestive.
It makes me think about like, what are we doing now that in 20 years they're going to be like, oh my God.
Good question.
Yeah. Everything.
What do you guys
media?
Think it is? Social media?
I think.
Social for sure.
Like, eating meat.
Eating meat, media. For sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, I think cell phones are probably way more dangerous than we give them credit for.
Yeah.
Just because
Do you sleep with your phone next to you?
I used to. I don't anymore. Do you?
I do. I know I need to stop, but I haven't.
Yeah, I know it's hard.
It's a short story.
That's kind of how those tend to go. I did it for like 2 days.
You separated it for 2 days?
I'm so high on myself during those 2 days. I'm like, look at me. I'm a fucking person who doesn't bring their phone to bed. And then,
Yeah.
I have a real alarm clock that I try to like just use that and leave it in the other room. Doesn't happen all the time, but we try. We try in this house.
Yeah, I don't have trouble waking up to my phone. Like, I think I would wake up to it if it was a far away from me as well. But like, I don't know. And I try not to check it first thing in the morning anymore. Yeah. But I do fall asleep getting like doing. I don't do social, but I do crosswords on my phone.
Oh,
like,
that's not too bad.
That's the last thing I do. Yeah. But then it is right next to me. And I'm just kind of like worried about like, I don't know.
The radiation of it all.
Waves going into my brain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because even though I don't sleep with it next to me for the other like whatever 18 hours, it's certainly right next to my brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all fucked. It's whatever.
Fine. It's fine. Yeah. I think we should just start smoking again.
Exactly.
Crayons, at least.
Yeah.
Do you guys say everyone go around and say crayon, how you say it?
Crayon.
Crayon.
Oh, we're all crayons.
No one says crown in this group.
Crown.
No. I know people said crown, yeah.
We got crowns. Some people like to give it a crayon.
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 Yeah. Crayons. Crayon.
Yeah.
Although I feel like, man, I don't know. Maybe that's regional. I'm trying to remember what I would have said growing up in Texas if we said crowns. We might have.
Crowns. Yeah, that feels
a box. A box of crowns.
You just sounded really Texan. So.
What part of Texas did you grow up in?
I grew up in Houston, in Sugarland, the south side of Houston. Yeah. And then I went to school in Texas and started my career in Texas and then moved to Chicago in 2009.
Nice.
But my family's still in Texas. So I'm back there quite a bit.
Yeah. That's cool. I like Houston a lot. I had one of my best friends live there for years. It was always fun to get to go down and visit.
Yeah.
I love like the chaos of the neighborhoods because there's like no zoning really. So it can just be like house building, you know, like weird like restaurants next to houses. Like it just feels like you can, there's a surprise in every corner.
Yeah. They've got great food. I grew up in the suburbs. So I grew up in like cookie cutter houses. Mm-hmm. But Houston's got great food. It's like a deeply like purple city, like pretty liberal, it's a sanctuary city. Mm-hmm. Diverse. So if you got to be in a great big like city in the South, Houston is a good one to be in.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And you've got kolaches, right?
There's kolaches in Texas. Yes.
Mm. What's that?
Kolaches are like breakfast rolls that have like sausage and jalapeno and cheese inside of them. And they're just like fully, no like hot dog sticking out the end, fully encased in like a warm roll.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then all sorts of different like sausage, potato, like it's like, you know, if you whatever you would put inside of a breakfast taco, 7-11, but they stuff it taquito. Inside of a full roll. They're really yummy.
I was going to a show the other night and there was these ladies outside talking to the bouncer and I was kind of like trying to get in and there were these two British ladies and they were like, "So we went to 7-11 and I got a taquito. Because I thought you have to get a taquito if you're in 7-Eleven."
How cute.
And she was like, and then I'm like, well, now I'm interested. So I started like listening in on the conversation. She was like, "Let me tell you what, I regretted it."
A perfect story in three acts. Oh,
absolutely.
Oh,
I was like,
no.
Yeah, ironic food is never good. I think we've discovered, we're talking about Olive Garden, not actually good. Like, they're not, don't eat it.
Yeah. No, don't joke around with things that go in your mouth.
I've never.
I don't know. Olive Garden is pretty good.
Is it? I mean, I've been recently and I feel like the breadsticks hold up, but I don't think any
breadsticks hold up. The salad dressing is full of sugar.
Okay.
Delicious.
Delicious. Salad and breadsticks, yes, I'm in for it. Anything else?
That's all I would ever go
for.
Yeah.
I think Babs and I were talking because we went as a joke a few years ago and I made the mistake of getting spaghetti with like marinara sauce and like it was horrible tomato sauce. And I just feel like there's no reason in this life to eat bad tomato sauce.
Yeah. Was it super sugary?
Very sugary. Like, and like, it was basically as if they just opened a can of diced tomatoes and threw in some CNH sugar.
Yeah.
And called it a day.
That's all. I'm honestly more involved than I think the process is.
I do know that they have like a butter vat in the back that they dunk the breadsticks in before they come out to you.
Oh, fuck
hell yeah. Like that's the key to why the breadsticks
shiny.
Are as
I like a shiny food.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. I have a friend whose ex-husband worked there and hated it. And he would just like, for his break, he would just dunk some breadsticks in and just hold them in the butter for like a minute and then just go eat them out by the dumpster because he hated working at Olive.
What an ex-husband job to have, you know? Yeah. Dunking the breadsticks. Okay. Allison, I really want to ask you this, and I'm sorry because it's nerdy, but whatever. I'm sure people asked you. But I really love Martin Freeman, and I just want to know what it was like to work with him on Fargo.
You're a Freemaniac, is that right? He's great.
Is that the name of it?
No, sure. I just made it up. I think I just made it up. Maybe not. I don't know. Let me know, Martin, if that's the case. Yeah, Martin's awesome. He's like, we're very different actors, like very different types of actors. He is like every take is wildly different type of actor, which.
Oh, cool.
For me, coming as my first TV show, I was like, this is a terrifying thrill ride. What will happen?
Yeah.
But he's incredible to watch work because, yeah, he really just like is like just all over the map with his choices. And like, I just directors and editors must just be like, where do we even start? You know,
that's
to like zero in on what we want to do with this scene. He's incredible.
So you like art tend to be more like you pick do the same thing each time, or what?
I'm pretty precise. Like I'm pretty like, this seems like what the scene is unless someone gives me a note that sends it in a different direction, mm-hmm. or unless, I get something very different from my scene partner. You know, like I try to react. Let me tell you how acting works. I try to stay, you know, present and be ready for whatever comes. But I feel like I've got a pretty clear idea of like who the character is in a given set of circumstances. Until a director's like, what if she's, you know, scared by that? And I'm like, ooh, I love that. Let's try it. Or I'm like, I hate that, but I'll try it anyway because you're my boss.
I always love getting those notes that you're like, okay, yeah, mm-hmm. your name's
great,
check. Okay.
But you never, sometimes it's awesome and you're like, oh well, more power to you. But yeah, Martin is just really varied, which was thrilling to watch. Mm-hmm. And I also was like, I don't know that I can ever be that free. I just don't know that I'm built like that as a performer, but he really was. It was incredible to watch.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's also interesting.
Can I just say you're incredible in that in Fargo too? Like that season,
oh, it's
like
thank
one
you.
Of the best seasons of TV I think I've ever seen. And like, what a like insanely like great way to like make your television debut off. At to yeah. be like yeah. holy shit.
it's a tall order to follow up, but I was really lucky where it started me off for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean. I was reading how you kind of were trying to like avoid certain roles after that of like the best friend or any, why were, what was like in, you know, behind that choice?
Well, I felt like, it sort of against all odds, I had like broken onto the scene and the show that had done so well as like a sort of, it was kind of an ingenue-less, show, but mm-hmm. for all intents and purposes, I was the ingenue of this show, which is never a role I was ever considered for in my theater career. That's not true. A couple times, but it's because we ran the theater company, so I got to pick the plays. But you know, even in college, I was always the girl who was playing, you know, the 60-year-old, you know, matriarch of the family and things like that. And so, coming off of Fargo and feeling like Molly was as close to an ingenue as I was, as I had really gotten, in many instances, and I didn't want to go from there to like the roles that character actresses are typically relegated to straight away. So I held off and said no to a lot of things, and was really lucky. I mean, I got to play some really interesting characters and lead some shows and play some roles that I think would not have been available to me if Molly hadn't come first.
Was that a challenge? You know? I mean, obviously that's a decision that you made, this kind of boundary that you were going to have in terms of the roles that you accepted, but were there a few moments where you were kind of scared to make that decision or tempted to say yes?
Yeah. I mean, I think the first job I said no to after Fargo, I was like, not even the first job, because I said no to a few jobs, but the first big like paycheck that I said no to, I don't remember what it was now, but I remember being like, am I crazy that I just did that. But because I broke so late, I was, you know, 34, maybe 35 when Fargo came out. So since I broke so late, I had just been like working in an office like 2 years before. Yeah. And like, you know, it wasn't like, I was like, I gotta make it against all, I mean, like no matter what, I've been scraping. I finally had my break. Like mm-hmm. I was like, I can go back to doing, you know, bar prov and get my day job back if I have to. So let's not put all of our let's not throw all our chips in. Let's like play this. Let's play this right. Because like, what if it's this crazy ride that only lasts for a couple of years because of this like random show that I got? I don't want to say that I immediately like took the role of the funny aunt in something else, you know?
Totally.
And I was really lucky. I had a team, my agents and my managers that I signed on with when I moved to LA, when Fargo was had just aired, they were all like on board and continue to be on board with all the things I want to say no to.
That's I mean,
that's
awesome.
Important because yeah, you don't want people just being like, just take it. Like that's not no one ever wants
to do
that.
They're great. They're wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you had your own theater troupe? Like you've like founded your own theater troupe like pre?
Yeah. In Dallas, it's always a little, I always say that I founded it. It's a little complicated because the founders were the original like five who put in $100 to start the theater company. Which I was not one of those five, but I was in the first production and was there from the start and was then producing with them. And anyway, so I usually say, yeah, I founded a company, but I didn't really because I didn't put in $100. I send them a lot more than $100 every year now. So I should probably, I should be on the website somewhere. But anyway, yeah, I helped foster this theater company that was a little baby theater company in Dallas through its first 8 years, I think. And then I moved away, maybe less than that. And they're still going. It's called Second Thought Theater in Dallas. They're still operational.
And is it a lot of original stuff or like what's the mission?
Yeah, it's a lot of original stuff. A lot of new works, old works in new ways and like regional premieres. They try to do, you know, things that are new to at least you know the Southwest. So
have you done any theater in LA? I mean, it's so like tough out here. The scene's just
I did a storefront show with like a friend of mine was producing this storefront show when I first moved here. But that's the only one that I've done. And I think I've just kind of outgrown storefront theater. I love storefront theater. That's where I came up and that's certainly what we were doing in Dallas. But I just don't think that, I just think I need a bigger house to feel, to be able to be sort of lost in a story. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you can in a storefront theater when you're,
you're like five feet away from the bathroom and all that.
Well, and which is fine. And again, I love, but I just think that you reach a certain level of like, you need a certain level of anonymity to be like lost in a role in a theater that small where everybody can see each other and you can see them and they can like see the pores on your face. And I just think I'm like, I think I'm a tiny bit too much of a television actress now to do convincing theater in a house that small, if that makes
sense. Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah.
I don't know. I might walk that back later and be like, cut it out. But no, I think
I've ever said these words out loud. Lady to lady.
Certainly, yeah, I mean, doing stand-up, like, it's definitely, like, way easier to hit your groove and, like, ride the vibe of the show with a big house, and especially whenever the lights are bright and you can't fully see the crowd, than when you're in, like, a tiny bar show and you see every single... awkward smile.
Well, and like similarly, like I have avoided going to plays where I'm in the audience and I know that they're going to be able to see me. I'll sit in the back and just try to like be inconspicuous because I also don't want like to freak out whoever's on stage can also see me. I don't want to freak anybody out. Like,
no, totally.
We did a few years ago. My mom was on a kick where every Thanksgiving, cause we do big Thanksgivings in my house. Every Thanksgiving she would organize something for all of the young adults, which is like the cousins who are now, you know, grown to go do something. Yeah. And then the old folks, as she called them, would babysit all the kids. And a couple years in a row, we did escape rooms. And one year she emailed us all like, which one of these looks good to you? And one of them was an escape room where there were people playing characters in the room with you.
No.
And I was like, absolutely not.
No.
Like there is no shame in an acting gig. You get your acting gig, but I didn't want to be doing my early acting gigs and then look over and see a television actress that I knew.
Yeah.
Midway through making my like, $7 an hour or whatever. Like I would just, it would throw me so much. It would freak me out. And I just don't think I'd be able to recover. Well, and I'm like, and then very on sensitive the opposite, to that.
On the no, opposite end, you have the people who wouldn't get freaked out by it and would be like, now's my time.
Yeah. I'm going to really act it up.
I'm going to act in your face.
Yeah, Allison's going to get me cast in the new thing. And it's like, that's how it works. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember 100%. Once doing a stand-up show. Oh, my God. And, like, you know, it was a cool, it was like a decently sized place. But Helen Hunt was in the crowd. And she happened to sit in a seat that literally had a light shining on it from above.
Like, nah, she brought that with her.
Yeah, sure.
I traveled with a key light.
Goes with her wherever she goes, yeah.
Yeah.
That's just God. But yeah, it was just like, she was so lit up in this crowd. And I was just like, okay, well, let's just do this. And I guess it turned out her daughter or somebody was in the show with me. But,
oh, that's cool.
And everyone was like whispering in the back, like, she's out there. And then, like, yeah.
I remember doing a stand-up show at like a dive bar bowling alley that nobody was at. And Weird Al had his birthday there. And he walked
my God.
In during my stand-up show that nobody was at and was like, ah. And then he walked back out to go bowl. And I was like, thank you. But also, whew, okay. That,
can I say, oh, wait.
Feels great.
Okay, pretend I have glasses on. But I was doing an audition yesterday on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And I had my glasses on.
Mm-hmm.
And Weird I went Al. To put on this shirt. And I was like, Weird Al. I just said Weird Al. And I walked away.
Oh, no. Oh, it's true,
everybody. No, I just was like, nope, not the choice. Not the choice.
Well, we're going to go check our wardrobe for signs of Weird Al, and we'll be right back after this.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Allison.
Yay. We're going to play a game with you that I'm sure you'll be familiar with. And I don't think you got to do this show. So I hope you're excited to do it. It's our take on Inside the Actor Studio.
Okay. Goody. Excited. Nervous.
It's honestly the exact same, but it's called Inside the Lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever watch those as a kid?
I don't think so.
I don't think I watched them as a kid, but I watched them as a college student for sure.
Oh my God. I was just rewatching Arrested Development where he's like the warden and so funny.
Oh my God. That's right. I love James Lipton.
Such a
It was always so
choice.
Cute when he would ask about tattoos because his wife wouldn't let him have any.
Aw.
That's so sweet. Yeah. I loved him on like his like Conan appearances were always so sweet too because you could tell Conan just loved him and he was just like, I don't know why I get to be weird, but this is gonna be fun for me.
So yeah, we like to play this game when we have like, you know, real actors on. So there are actors. There's no wrong answer. So, you know, you don't have to read too much into it. Uh-huh. But
all right.
Here we go. Allison, what is your favorite word?
Catholic.
Catholic?
I'm not a Catholic. I just like the way it feels in my mouth. Isn't that weird? Is that weird I had an answer to that? I'm like, I know, actually.
I love Catholic. That answer. It's so...
I do, too.
So,
because I'm not like a huge fan, Catholic. But the word itself is...
It's great. It's got percussives in it. It's got that soft TH in the middle. Mm-hmm.
It takes you on a journey.
Yeah. It really does.
It does.
Yeah.
I like that. I've never separated the word from from.
Yes, I don't have associations with Catholicism, so I'm able to do that.
So you're free to enjoy.
And I don't know when I decided that I liked that word, but I think I was like, I had been, I read that, I don't know if you guys have heard that like cellar door is supposed to be the most beautiful phrase in English. Have you heard that before? Cellar
no.
door? Cellar door is supposed to be one of the most beautiful phrases in the English language. And I'd read that and was like, oh, that's a good one. Cellar door. And I think I got on a kick trying to find what my favorite word was, what felt good in my mouth. And I decided Catholic. This is years ago. I really had
waiting.
An answer.
You were ready.
You were so ready. Yeah. And the Preps. C really okay. is the cello of the letters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah.
I like that you're doing like a French thing with your hand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Just swirling it in the air, just taking it all in.
Let it breathe.
Yeah. Okay, Allison, what is your least favorite word?
Oh, gosh. I mean, the first word that comes to mind is moist, but I think that's societal. I don't think I have a problem with that word.
Mm, you've just been told.
I feel like more.
I think I've been told I have a problem with that word.
Yeah.
I do remember when Wordle used moist, and like I got it because I saw someone tweet. I saw someone say like Wordle.
Yes.
I can't believe they did it. And I was like, oh, I know what it is.
That was the first time Wordle was ever spoiled for me. Yes. Because I went on Twitter and someone was like, just no Wordle or whatever. And I was I was like, it's moist.
Wordle Twitter was popping off on moist day. People were
not fucking happy.
Honestly, I feel the same way about moist that I do about a lot of like, I don't know, I'll use Kim Kardashian as an example of like so many people hate it that I feel like I have to kind of find something good about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think of moist, I think of like baked goods. Like it's, you know?
And it's also like, it's a good word for what it is. Like, what other word is there? It's not like it's a word where you're like, we could get rid of it and English language would be fine. Like, cause it's not wet.
No,
it's not
I guess
dry.
Damp, but damp isn't.
Damp,
like,
you don't want
damp
taste.
Is different.
No, I would argue that damp is less attractive than moist.
I think it is. It's worse, but.
Yeah. I don't think I hate the word moist. I think it jumps to my mind. I'm interested if you've ever asked me about that question that they've said anything different, because I feel like that word is much maligned.
It's much maligned. Yeah. People say like hate is a common answer.
Mm-hmm. They hate the word hate. That's their least favorite word is the word hate.
Yeah. Or no.
You're a moist defender.
It's a real actor answer. You know?
I'm glad you guys couldn't see me roll my eyes. Goody two-shoes.
The word hate.
I do feel like, I will say like, I think not liking moist is kind of like how bacon was like such a bit, like it's like,
yes,
bacon was a big like, ugh, we've got bacon on donuts. You know what I mean? It was kind of like an old fad almost.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
A new word needs its day.
Yeah. Gen Z thinks they discovered hating moist. And I'm like, I've been hating moist for 30 years. It's back, baby. Yeah, Big Damp started that campaign.
Yeah, we need to talk about that. Damp was getting paid off. Or moist is getting, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, but if you don't, we can go to another one if you don't have
maybe I'll think of one that I hate more than moist. But again, I don't think I hate moist.
Just think about it at the end. If you think
what
about
if
it
I was
middle
like
night,
genocide.
Wake up and yell it into our yeah.
I hate
the word murder.
Genocide. Yes.
I hate the word bad guys.
Yeah. Rude
patriarchy.
People. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh, go ahead.
Allison, what turns you on?
Lipton.
He'd be like, correct answer.
Was it Gwyneth Paltrow that said precision? She said precision.
I can't. That's such a good answer for her. That is.
Let me see if I can find her answer.
It's actually like a pretty good answer. I think it was.
That
Gwyneth
is actually
Paltrow.
A very good answer.
Precision.
Yeah. Precision. And also a beautiful word. Precision.
Precision is a good word. What turns me on? Precision. I can't think of anything but precision now. I think vulnerability, which is also my greatest enemy.
How is it your greatest enemy?
I'm just so scared of being vulnerable. I'm terrified of it. But I think that's also why it's so like attractive to me. It's something that I'm like, ooh, someday.
I find it fairly easy to be vulnerable, but it's almost like addictive in a way. Not addictive, but like you're like, well, I already told that. What else can I tell?
Yeah.
Have you read about the concept of floodlighting? Because I've done.
What's that?
Yeah. Hmm.
Is that Helen Hunt?
If you, you get a little Brene Brown. It's where you sort of like force vulnerability, like force like oversharing, which I definitely am guilty of. For a couple reasons, so that you can like either like get all of your mess out early and be like, see, I know you're going to hate me, so you can just leave now. Or you can like force a deeper relationship like than is earned early on, because you're like, well, now you know about all my family shit. Mm-hmm. So,
interesting. But, like, I definitely
I do a lot
know
of
this, the, yeah. know this, what you speak of. Okay.
Yeah, I've definitely had that done on me. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
it doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good. And I actually find that really a turnoff. Cause you can really sense when it's not organic. And I'm down to like get into it if that's the vibe. But
No, but it does feel like it's almost...
I find a hard time like finding that balance, I feel like, because I can absolutely small talk and I can absolutely chit chat. But if I'm gonna like have a real like friendship and relationship with somebody, then I really want to be able to go deep with them and be like, what's up with you? What's going on? Or here's what I'm feeling, or I had a bad day, or I'm really, really anxious right now.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't want to like force that too early with somebody, because that's floodlighting.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, but of course you want to have relationships with people you can be yourself. So
yeah.
I think it's just about finding that balance of, it is fun when you have a new friendship or relationship where that does build gradually. And then you're like, ooh, here's our little tidbits of, you know.
Yeah. But yeah. I think that's kind of can be part of the bizarre thing about being a creative person, is you kind of do invert that relationship a little bit. Like when you're performing, you are being sort of unnaturally open with, and it's a very one-sided relationship. And I think that's why I have social anxiety sometimes after people see me. Yeah. Perform because I can kind of feel the weird, it's just a weird dynamic to have yourself like be more exposed.
Unbalanced. Yeah.
It's the parasocial thing. Yeah. Like definitely. It's similar to like, if you talk about sex on stage or something, someone feels comfortable like approaching you afterwards to like ask you out, and you're like, yikes, 100%. Not what I was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah. Cause I feel like vulnerability is like essential to acting and to like the work that I do. So it's like, it's a strange like tightrope to kind of walk.
You kind of have to, put up a wall even more, I think, when you do this kind of job.
Yeah. And then it makes you feel vulnerable in like weird ways when you're recognizable. It's like a very weird thing.
Do you have any like weird stories about being recognized that you'd want to share? Tell us about that.
So many. Mm-hmm. The number of people I've met just people I meet who are like, oh, you're so much more thin in real life. And I'm like,
oh my God.
I try to be like, now look at everyone on all of your screens. And that is the case.
Yes.
Yeah. And also just don't say that to anyone. Like, why? Yeah, you just could have said nothing.
They just seem surprised. And also, like, obviously we live in a society where that's a compliment to be like, good news.
Yeah.
I've got great news for you, ma'am.
Yeah.
So that happens a lot. I had an experience in an airport once where a woman and her daughter were just like not abiding by like the rules of like talking to someone that you know from a screen, which is that they were talking too loudly. And I was like, it was the first time I've ever been nervous that they were going to cause a stir of some kind. Cause usually it's just like a conversation between two strangers.
Yeah.
But they were feeding off each other and like kind of getting louder and louder. And I was a little bit like, no, we're just stuck at this airport gate. Like,
they weren't talking to you. They're just talking to each other.
They were talking to me, they were talking.
Right.
They were talking exuberantly and like at a volume that was loud enough that I was like, people are going to start staring, which might've been like scary to me, even if they were talking to me about, I love your, bag or whatever.
Right.
But I was like, the unspoken rule that everyone abides by is that we can have this conversation and I'm happy to tell you about your question about, Billy Bob Thornton or Ned the dog, but we got to talk cool. Like we're just conversing over here.
Don't get all bye-bye birdie on me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Conrad Birdie. Come on, take it down a notch.
Man, I guess airports gotta be one of the more like, that's kind of like, it must be annoying at an airport to not have that boundary yet, because like of all times when you kind of don't really want to talk to people
and you have nowhere to go, you have to get on that plane, like
with you're those stuck. People. Quarantine, like the pandemic, like I'll wear masks in airports forever probably because it is easier to get from one place to another.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
I think.
Well, you know? And I dress for the airport the way that I dress for podcasting. It's a similar vibe.
Yeah, Brandy's like a cocoon. She's just like completely. You just need something where you press a button and it all like folds up.
I wish I could. If I could just rack myself in a sarcophagus and just be transported across the country, I would. That's what I'm aiming for.
Like a vampire?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I just want to emerge like a vampire butterfly every time.
We're going to start bringing her with us on trips like that. We're just going to cart her around.
I would love it. Oh. I would love it. Yeah, I have a face mask. I have the regular mask. I have the face mask. I have a pillow. I have sunglasses. I pull down a beanie over my head. I just, mm-hmm. you do not.
So smart.
I probably look much more famous than I am because of how covered up I am at the airport.
Oh my God, you guys, speaking of face masks, I must give a quick recommendation to our listeners. Y'all, I invested, and it was an investment, in a silk weighted sleep mask, and it has changed for my eyes. It has changed the game completely. It is, I'm sleeping like a baby tucked in a cloud, tucked in a fucking hot dog bun. Like, it.
You sleep on your back?
I'm a very chaotic sleeper. I start out on my side and then. Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just pushes down on like my brain and gets me to stop thinking. If you have problems sleeping, I really recommend.
That's fascinating. I have sleep masks that I keep one in next to my bed in case I'm like sleeping at weird hours because I'm working at weird hours and I travel with them. Mm-hmm. But I like the ones where it's like a tiny bra where it has like a cup for your eyeballs. So you can still like move your eyes underneath.
Yeah. Oh,
that's the kind I like. This I don't think is, I like the ones that are, I don't, I think the weighted one would be the opposite of what feels comfortable. I think I'd be like, gah!
It might be a lot. I mean, it definitely takes up most of my face. Like, it's full shape.
That sounds nice to me. I like the feeling of like, just press it away.
Exactly.
Press the thoughts down.
Exactly.
Okay, let's do another one before we go to break. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
When I was young, I wanted to be a photographer. That's not really, but I always wanted to be an actress, but, I did dabble in photography and always thought I would be like a photojournalist, you know, then I found out that you had to like talk to a lot of strangers and go to like war zones and be like really, really, really vulnerable. And I was like, ugh, good. With no safeguards like you have when you're acting. But yeah, I would have been a photojournalist, I think, of some kind. I still love taking pictures, but my mom was a photographer and my dad, they both loved photography when they were in college and stuff. So I did a lot of photography in high school. I was like the historian for my school's like thespian troupe. I took like millions of pictures, and in college I took headshots for like all of my everyone else in the theater department and would like make $100 a pop, you know, and like pocket the money and spend it at what I was going to say, Target. We didn't have a Target in Waco, Walmart.
yeah.
So yeah, I would be a photographer, I think.
That's cool. Yeah. I feel that would be such a sweet job. Like I always love wildlife photographers, you know, and they just sit. It's like you just sit in one place for.
It must be so like zen, like so meditative to be like, oh, well, I'm just going to wait for this snow leopard.
Yeah. Like, so meditative and then so like such a rush.
When they finally come. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although the one where they do the snow leopards, I think in one of the Planet Earths, they do a behind the scenes where they show you what the film crew has to go through to get that one. And
oh
I'm like,
oh my God, no. It must be ridiculous.
I hate being cold so much. Like the idea of standing in the cold for that long, I would have to be like a desert photographer.
Speaking of snow leopards, I can't believe I haven't talked about this yet, but the mountain lion of Los Angeles, P22, who I really think we need to give an actual name to, but has been spotted in our neighborhood. On my block, when we were in Vegas a few weeks ago, there was a neighborhood alert that was like spotted on the corner of where I live. So it is in my neighborhood. I don't know if it still is, but it's around. P22 yeah. is around.
I'm also a P22 head. I love P22. And I've been concerned because he's been in Silver Lake for a while. Oh, look.
Oh, my God. He's here.
P22 is right here.
My cat heard you talking about mountain lions, I guess, and came was like, that's my cue.
Oh, my God.
Well, what is this baby's name?
Yeah,
this is Bud.
Bud.
Hey, Bud.
I love gray cats. I mean, I love all cats, but I've wanted a gray one for a while.
But we need anyway, we need to have some kind of a taxi service to get P22 back to the mountains because he shouldn't be in Silver
Lake. I just am like curious why. I guess I like assumed that they would go pick him up at some point if he was just still wandering the streets, but I think he's still out there.
Yeah, he can't be like at the fucking Whole Foods. Like, we got to get him back.
I was doing like a show in a back alleyway and I was like, you guys know a mountain lion could just like show up right now. Like, it's out here somewhere. So anyway, that's what's going on in LA. Oh, it's my exciting. God. Bud's so cute.
Bud.
I love him.
Yeah. Can you hear him? Hold on.
Bud, give us some.
Get a little,
Yes.
Oh, little Bud. I love Bud. Wait, how long have you had Bud for?
Gosh, Bud. Like 5 years, maybe 4 years.
So cute. Aww. Very majestic.
We are like very, entwined since since the pandemic.
Oh yeah,
100%. For sure.
Like, he's always been like a very snuggly cat, but now even more so. Like, he's like, where are you going for 2 hours?
You know, it's so yeah. They're when we ever we go out of town and get back, our cats are like, what the fuck was that? They like, what did you do to me? Like,
how like, could you?
Sorry. Okay, we're gonna I don't know. I just think about Bud some more. We'll be right back in a second. Hey everybody, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
I'm Allison. And this is Bud the cat.
Does he have a voice? Does Bud have a voice?
His voice, yes. His voice I gave him is like, he's very, he's had a lot of therapy and he's like very self-aware. And he's like, mom, when you were recording your podcast and I came up and I wanted to say something in the microphone, I didn't feel seen when you ignored me. That's Bud.
Oh, I love that. Bud's going to therapy. Good for him. Yeah,
he really knows how to like communicate his emotions.
He like, looks very, like it. He's stunning. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, he's beautiful.
Very stunning.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do it.
So we've got a written in one and a sound one. So let's listen to the theme song.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them?
Ooh, the whisper. Oh! Oh! Guys, there were two whispers.
Sneak up on ya.
Mm-hmm.
Hold for it.
Hi ladies, I'm calling because I have a lady problem and I have been dating this guy for about 8 months now and I just feel like, I don't know, I feel like I'm not actually like being taken care of or like feel very wanted in the relationship. And I don't know if that's, like, me being too needy. This is, like, my first boyfriend, my first partner. And I've, like, tried to communicate that with him a little bit before in the past. But things haven't really changed. And so I'm just wondering what I should do because the thought of breaking up, honestly, makes me sick to my stomach because I do really love him. I just wish that I was being treated better and I guess like shown more gestures of love. But if you guys can help me out with this problem, that'd be really great. And I love you guys. Bye.
Aww.
Oh, honey.
I know.
My heart just goes out.
I know. Mm. And then, like, I can tell you're a very, like, intelligent and emotionally intelligent and compassionate person. And mm-hmm. you know that you're not in a good situation. That's yeah. why you call. You know, I mean, I think you probably, I think you, I don't know how old you are, but, like, you sound like you've got a certain amount of real maturity and understanding about what's going on. And it's really hard because especially your first relationship is tricky because, you know, maybe you wanted to be in a relationship for a while and now you're in one and you feel like, oh, you don't want to do anything to jeopardize it. And you haven't had the experience of leaving one and knowing mm-hmm. that it's going to be fine and you're actually going to be so much better off after leaving. And, like, you just need to trust what a good, awesome person you are, and you need to trust that there's a better situation out there for you because there is. Like, this person can't be in your life. You need to end it with them. Like, you can never, ever be with someone who makes you feel disrespected or unseen.
I think that I agree with you. And I think that a concept that's really helped me with breakups in the past, I went through a really significant breakup right before we went into the pandemic, went into quarantine, where I ended a relationship of 7 years. Mm-hmm. And something that's really helped me in that relationship and in the past with, like, smaller breakups is the idea that, like, we can't get anywhere good from here. Or, like, if I can't wrap my head around, like, this is not my person and we're not meant to be together, I can still wrap my head around, well, whatever the goal would be with this person, we're not getting there from here. Like, we're too deep in the mire of what this is. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we have to get out, and I need to take at least a 3-month break as a reset, you know. And I inevitably, after 3 months truly 3 months away from somebody where you're not talking to them and you're not on their social media, you have so much more perspective and you're like, oh, okay. That's not true. A couple times I've gotten back together with somebody after we split up. But almost always after a little bit of a reset, you can really see what's going on. So if you can't wrap your head around, I know that's sick to your stomach feeling. And if you can't wrap your head around mm-hmm. ending something with someone, then at least wrap your head around giving you and this person that you love the chance to, like, be better, by taking some time apart. And really, truly taking that time apart to see how you feel. And probably you'll feel like that isn't where you needed to be anyway. And that's great. That's a great way to feel. But there is another side to this. It's so hard. It's so hard to, like, gear up for a breakup and to, like, get brave enough to do it. It's really, really, believe me. I mean, it was the scariest, hardest thing I've ever done was telling my boyfriend, my long-term boyfriend, that I wanted to break up. It was the worst, hardest, most awful thing I've ever done. It was like ending a marriage. It was terrible. Yeah. But I'm really glad I did it for both of us, you know?
Did you, because I feel like one of the things that can be really challenging in breakups is, like, this very practical matter of, like, when do you do it? Like, I don't want to ruin this Saturday. I don't want to ruin this dinner. Like, and you kind of have it in the back of your head. Did you have a date and time, like, I'm going to do it today, or did it come up organically?
It came up. I let myself wait until I was like, I can't not say it. I'm dying. Yeah. Like, I am going to die. I'm going to crawl out of my skin if I don't say right now. So it was a completely random day in a lot of ways, but picking the time to do it is super, super hard. And I think you kind of just got to, like, let it move in you and be like, oh, it's time, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's never,
it's just really hard.
Like, you can't. And I feel like I've been in the situations before where I said to myself, I'm going to do it now. I'm going to do it now. And it just doesn't happen because you're too freaked out. Mm-hmm. And it will come out. So I think, like, don't harp on, there is never a good time for this stuff. It just happens when it happens. You know,
yeah. So and we think we can, like, mitigate the damage and, like, mitigate the mess.
Right.
And to some degree you can, like, maybe don't do it when you're in the car on the way home to visit his family, you know, right. But, also, like, the hardest part is jumping off the edge, and everything else is going to be scary, but it actually is just gradually getting better mm-hmm. as you're kind of skiing down this slope. So, I mean, I think that we all listen to this call and I feel like
Yes.
The foregone conclusion is like, no, babe, this is not the relationship for you. If you feel that way, it's not the relationship for you. And so that is, I mean, that's like the baseline, I think. Yeah. But
no, you know what you want and what you deserve.
Yeah. And that doesn't make them a bad person. Mm-mm. It doesn't mean you can't love them and like respect them and still want the best for them. They just might not be your person. They just might not be, or they might not be your person right now. It might not be capable of being what you need. But if you have the clarity of knowing what you need, what a fucking gift. Like, that's so great.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, you're already articulating it. You know. Mm-hmm. You just, and no one wants to do this. Like you said, the decision to jump off the cliff is shitty. And like, something's got to push you. So maybe it could be this podcast.
Yeah, do it.
And just do it. Yeah, I take him off social. Mm-hmm. You know, block his number for a little bit. Do whatever it takes, because you're going to need to.
Yeah.
That's the hard part, is getting rid of that companionship, that constant communication. So mm-hmm. that is going to be very hard. It is like coming off of a drug or something, and you just need to like go for it and do it. And it will be better. It will get easier.
You got to do a full cleanse though. Yeah. You can't, you got to like block them and either ask them, if you're in good enough, whatever, ask them to take like unfriend you or whatever. So you can't go see their shit and say, and you can, if you're in good enough terms, just say, I just need 3 months. Like, I just need a little bit of time. This isn't permanent, you know?
Yeah. You can do anything for 90 days.
Yeah. And it's like so essential. It's like a cleanse you have to do.
I like that, a cleanse. That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. And it's also not like, I mean, and I know she probably knows this, like, none of this is a condemnation on you in any way. Like, you know how you deserve to be treated. It is what this person is capable or not capable of. Like, it's not they are treating you, you know, bad because there's something wrong or anything like that. Like, it's just what they are not capable of.
It's hard. Like you said, it's her first relationship. So yeah, when you find, you know, it's so hard to even get into a relationship, to find somebody you even feel is worth of being with, that when you're faced with like, oh, maybe this isn't the right person, it's very easy to talk yourself out of like, oh, maybe we should be together, because yeah, it's fucking hard to find someone in the first place. But yeah, just know that it's you know, better for you to be out of something that you don't truly want to be in, or where you're not being respected or treated the way you should be.
Well, and I think young women are so like affected by like the cool girl, like low maintenance girl trope, that when we get with, in our, especially in early relationships, we think like, oh, well, maybe I'm being too much. Like, maybe I'm asking too much. Maybe I'm trying to like, I'm not going to get this from anybody because I'm just asking too much. And I don't know. I feel like get into some therapy if you like need to take a closer examination at like, if you feel like you're trying to get too much from your partner, that you need to be getting some from yourself and your other relationships. Like, in reality, there's really no such thing as being too much. There's like truly identifying what you need and then finding someone who's going to give you what you need, and anything in between is like kind of unacceptable.
It's not going to work. Yeah, I completely agree. Like, it can't be too much if it's what you want, because it's what you want. And like, you're not ever going to be able to change that. And like, again, that's the trust thing of like, there's so many people in this world, and like, just go out and live your life, and just, you kind of do just need to trust that you're going to find that person that will give you what you want. But you should never feel ashamed about having certain things that, you know, make you happier, that you expect out of a relationship, even if it may seem ridiculous. I mean,
And look, you know what? Not every man can be Bud and go to therapy and be a good
cuddler and a good partner. Cat.
Exactly.
So,
we all want a Bud, and you'll find yours.
Yeah, everyone, you'll find your Bud.
Yeah, and good luck. We're here for you. You got this.
Yeah, you got this. It's really hard, but you can do it. So many people have done it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do another one. This one's written in... Hi, ladies. My lady problem is that my job is refusing to give me a raise, but has no issues tripling my workload and responsibility as half the office quits. I might have to move back in with my parents since they are refusing a raise on or more hours. I'd be fine with either, and asked for one or the other, and the answer to both questions was no. Also, their training sucked, and I'm so overwhelmed. I've been with them for over 3 years, and they never gave anyone proper training. It's a circle. I'll ask for help, get ignored, try my best, do it wrong, boss gets mad, ask for help again, get ignored, round and round. I can't quit either or else I've been long gone. I also don't want to move in with my parents. I haven't had any luck with a new job either, even though I have a degree and I'm very adaptable and smart. So please help a girl out.
Blah. I feel like this is the work version of the last problem.
I know.
Yes, very, very much so.
But
yeah.
She can't, like, I want to say just cut, but it sounds like she doesn't have the option of just quitting.
Yeah, except you can be single for a long time and it's hard to go back to a long time.
It's true.
Yeah, it's true.
But don't you guys think, like, there's always a way, like, why can't you quit? Like, what? I guess I don't know the specifics about her career or what the situation or how specialized this work is, but like, is there really no way for you to be continuing to look for other jobs and finding yourself? Because this is not a tenable situation.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Also, can you get unemployment for a certain amount of time so that
you have to get fired.
If you're fired.
So I think that's first point. I was going to say, they keep sending you work. I think you can just start saying, you're not paying me to, what is exactly in your job description would be my question. Like, what exactly are you being paid to do? And have that written up and then do not a moment's more worth of work. And,
yeah, I think, you know, like there has to be some kind of law against, right? Like making someone I don't know.
You would wish. Yeah. You would hope so.
Yeah. But I mean, I do feel like there is some kind of protections most likely. I don't know where you live, but I would look into it just to keep track of like, what am I being asked? What's being asked of me? What's like legally allowed to be asked of me as opposed to like whatever, you know, what I'm getting, what my job description is. Because maybe you have a little bit of protection if you decide to, I don't know, if you try to quit and get unemployment or something.
Also, are you in touch with your coworkers that are quitting and moving to other jobs? Like, can
where are you going?
Be very open with them and being like, hey, gonna miss you. Also, definitely also looking to leave.
Yes.
You know, really like work that network and not just be like sending out resumes. Cause I feel like most jobs I've ever gotten have been through like somebody else to something else.
Is side hustle stuff you can do on like the weekends? Like, can you nanny on like a Saturday and start saving some cash to give yourself a little bit of a cushion?
Yeah. Because it feels like, again, the foregone conclusion here is that like, this is not a good company to work at and you need to get out. Like you've given us a lot of examples of how this is not a good place to be. So, but I understand that you need like an exit strategy more than you might need on bailing out of a relationship. So, I think all of those are good things to do to eventually get out of this job because it sounds like they suck.
Yeah. Cause originally I thought that, you know, I was thinking this would be a question about like, how do I ask for a raise? But you've done it. They've refused. Yeah. I mean, what's going on is just, not okay. So I feel like, you got to come up with a game plan. If you're already going to be moving back in with your parents, then maybe that gives you an opportunity to maybe quit and live real slimly for a little while you look for a new job. You know, like you might just have to figure out, what that hustle is that you can make money for on your own for a little while you figure out a new place. I mean, don't be ashamed either of putting it out there that you're looking for stuff, you know, put it on Facebook, email all the people, you know, I've gotten so many things just from being like, you know what? I'm in a place where I need to work. I'm going to put it out there and I'll put it on Facebook and say, I'm looking for work, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And that's how you get random jobs. And, you know, they think of you for something. So I'd say don't feel ashamed of letting people know the position you're in because everyone wants to help someone, especially like I said, you're obviously a smart person who works hard. Like, everyone needs that, so.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, you have a shitty boss who is gaslighting you and is probably doing that thing where it, like, works, like, to be like, we're a family. And what that always means is very one-sided where they can just abuse you and abuse you and abuse you and they expect unending loyalty and response because we're, quote-unquote, family. And fuck that. If your boss starts yelling at you, walk away and be like, I'd like this in an email. Like, just... there's a lot of unfortunately confrontational things to like meet these kind of things back at them because like they know that they're in a power position. They think they're in a power position, but they're not.
They're actually not.
They're not. You have the power. Like, you are the one that they're putting all this shit. This office would not run without you. You know, what's your if all this shit needs to get done, your boss can do it. Oh, they don't know how to do it. All they know how to do is yell at you. No, you actually know how to do things in this place and they don't.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, like some jobs that, I mean, I don't know, have you ever get yourself through, like, if you need to quit this job and get yourself through 6 months while you live with your parents, I don't know if you've ever bartended or waited tables or anything like that. Like, those jobs pay cash really fast. If you need to do something in the interim for a few months, I mean, I think this is, I would focus all of your attention on leaving this place right now. That is your number one priority. Get yourself else, in.
What's going to happen is the breakup thing where you're just going to bubble over and you're going to be like, I'm fucking out because I cannot handle
also,
this.
Also, if you are in a position where you're like, okay, well, I'm quitting, that they might be like, okay, we'll give you a raise. And then you can stay for 3 months, take their money, and you don't owe them anything and find another job.
Yep. 100%. Do not feel bad about how you leave these fucks. No, that's what I want to say. No. Do not feel bad about how you leave them. Take as much as you can from them because they are doing that to you as much as they can too. So just all you're doing is meeting them on their level, but coming to it with more integrity because you're just trying to defend yourself.
Yeah,
but you know, be scrappy. Look at all your options. Like there is a way to get out and... Yeah. You will, and you'll move on. And I'm so fucking sorry you're dealing with this because it's a nightmare. Yeah. I mean, but they suck.
In general, guys, I would just like to encourage everyone listening. Fucking, you're worth so much. Just trust that. You're awesome.
Yeah.
Fuck the haters.
Yeah, exactly. But what about, I keep a squirt bottle on my desk for my dog when he barks during podcasting. What if you had a squirt bottle on your work desk and if your boss started yelling at you, you sprayed him a little bit?
Again, just a thought. If we're just going toward the trying to get fired lane.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just, I like it. Yeah. I like Randy's, Randy's approach is just to like blow it up, baby. Just
have some fun with it. I mean, maybe not even squirt him, but like squirt the ground at his feet to be like, this is a lot. I've drawn a line. Do not cross my line.
Can you imagine if you just like said a sharp no to like someone in a workplace who like was crossing line and said no and then squirted them?
Oh, it would be like getting a picture of the snow leopard. It would be like getting that. It would have that same adrenaline feeling.
It's delicious.
I want you, if I don't know how old you are, if you have not seen Office Space, I want you to just go watch Office Space.
And oh, just yeah, good call.
Soak it in.
Yeah.
Lots of good office revenge there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Well, this is great because speaking of gaslighting, you're in a new show coming out called Gaslit.
I do. That was an excellent transition.
It was. Thank you.
I muted myself and sneezed while you were asking the question and then was smoothly transitioned back in and then blew it by telling you all what
to say. Like professional. To pull the curtain back.
I want everyone to know. Sometimes Bud makes me sneeze. Yes, I'm in a show coming out on Stars on the 24th called Gaslit, which is... it's the Watergate story, but kind of from a perspective of some of the women involved in the periphery of the story.
Cool. Interesting.
Yes. Julia Roberts plays Martha Mitchell. It's going to be good, I think. I haven't seen any of it. I've seen the trailer and it looks great.
Yeah.
The costumes were amazing. The hair was large. Pretty excited about that. Yeah. Yeah. So that's coming out soon. Yeah.
I'm excited. Yeah. I feel like all these revisiting of these big stories is always like interesting and seeing a new perspective. So,
yeah, it's a cool way to sort of tell stories everybody knows or to relook at history, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well,
and where can everyone find you on social and all that?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Allison Tolman. And those are the only two that I'm on. I don't TikTok. Should I TikTok? Should I be TikToking, guys? Yeah. I'm not going to do it.
I don't think.
What do your agents say?
Yeah.
If you don't want to do it, only do it if you think it's fun. If you don't think it's fun, don't do it.
Yeah. Agreed.
You know, truly, my ex, who I'm still friends with, was in network security. And when TikTok first became a thing, he was like, don't download that app. And I was like, okay. And I never have because I trust him. He was like, don't do it. It's fishy.
I mean, everyone is getting hacked lately, so that's maybe a good call.
Probably the top. Yeah. Probably got a lot to do with it, for
not
sure.
Not putting TikTok on this phone, baby. Uh-uh.
Yeah. I have my TikTok burner phone that is just...
Just it for that and drug deals. That's it.
Yeah. Exactly. It would be nice to have a phone that this was my social media phone, and then I had like my other phone with my other thing, with all of my actual phones.
Oh, that's
stuff.
Such a good idea.
That is that's a good call. I think some people... I mean, I know a lot of... social media people do have various phones because they just put their film on one phone, you know?
Mm. Oh. That makes sense.
But then you could like put it in a... I've started locking my social media apps for like between certain hours a day, man,
that's cool.
It's great.
It's life changing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it I just really don't have nice. Twitter on my phone, and it really changes. Yeah.
I've taken it off in the past and put it back on again, but I just have them all turned off between the hours of like 10 and 5.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think it's so interesting how much I find that like my appetite for them is so much smaller after being away mm-hmm. from them. Like once you get the drug a little bit out of your brain, you're like, meh.
Yeah, it is. It's like drug brain.
Scrolling yeah. addiction. I don't have as much. It's like so much less than it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I recommend that if anyone's interested.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about it.
Keep the podcast app on your phone for sure.
Yes.
Yes. Podcast, just listen to podcast us. App is up Amazon. I got to like be able to like very quickly order laundry detergent.
you know. That is honestly, can I say my worst probably habit lately? And this is about bringing your phone to bed. As soon as I'm getting ready for like bed, what my brain starts to do is go, oh, this is what you should buy. So I sit in bed and I like shop like not every night, but close. And I don't always buy the stuff. I'll like, you know, put stuff in the cart and then maybe put it down. But that's what my head's doing lately is it's like, you know what you need.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. I have that too.
Buy some shit.
Yeah. And sometimes you do just need to buy it because it's like this itch you got to scratch. Like,
I got a real scratchy. It's been a real scratchy itch up there. Well, Allison, is there anything else you want to shout out or anything?
Nope. Just shout out to therapy. Everybody go to therapy.
Yay.
Love that. Like that.
Yeah. Get a bud. Therapy. Go to therapy.
Get yourself some bottled serotonin if you need it. Do it, baby. What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
Gaslit is Gaslit's my next big project. And that's what's out right now. So or soon. Awesome. That's what's going on for me. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, this has been so much fun. Thanks for hanging with us.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. It was nice talking to y'all. And Bud he's right here. He says hello. Oh,
thank you, Bud.
Bud, you're amazing.
ladies, I just wanted to say thank you for your time this morning. It was really nice speaking with all of you. you give great advice, and I just find you all so inspiring.
Oh, thanks, Bud.
Honorary lady.
What a
sweet
dream.
Boy. He's such a good boy.
All right, everybody. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. I heard my call earlier on an earlier podcast, like a few podcasts ago. Can't remember which one, but I'm like, ew, is that what I sound like? I remember you guys talking about hearing your voice is a weird thing. My name is Justine. I'm from San Diego. I love you guys. You help me get through my day. And Brandy, I think I said this in the last voicemail. I'm a Pisces just like you, and I definitely relate to you on the revenge plots, and I'm right there with you. Tess, I am definitely loud, like you, and I love Britney Spears, always have since I was a little girl, obsessed, still obsessed. Babs, you're hilarious. All three of you are just so funny, and you help me get through my day, and it's kind of like I have a friend in my pocket, and I hope I get to see you guys live someday. I don't know if you guys are gonna be going on tour or anything. Just wanted to tell you guys thanks, and I appreciate you, and yeah. Have a good day. Keep up the good work. Love ya. Bye.
Hi, ladies. This is Arlo. I was the person who recommended the Raccoon Restaurant to Brandy in Omaha. I was just listening to your most recent episode with Daya, and you guys were talking about songs that are about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and you completely neglected to mention the song by 90s kid superstar Raffy. It goes like this. A peanut butter sandwich made with jam. One for me and one for David M. Oh, a peanut butter sandwich made with jam. Stick, 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 stick. I know which is good and which is bad. But the best. was a peanut butter sandwich made with jam. Yum, 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 yum. Really hope I just unlocked a core memory for you 90s kids. If not, just totally embarrassed myself. Either way, I just had to get this out there. I love you, lady, so much. Thank you for all that you do. You're the best.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker.
Listen, follow, and leave us a review on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And don't forget, you can listen to new episodes 1 week early on Amazon Music or early and ad-free plus bonus episodes by subscribing to Wondery Plus in the Wondery app.
Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.